The reading is from Colossians 1:15 to 28. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and unblemished and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he who we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. The gospel is taken from Luke chapter 10, commencing at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman, Martha, opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, good morning. What a pleasure it is to be with you this morning as we delve into this encounter between Mary, Martha, and Jesus. So I would like to begin by asking you a question. When you think of, or when you hear the word hospitality, what do you call to mind? How would you describe it? What picture pops into your head when you hear it first? And I want you to hold on to that image. As we delve into this passage, I want you to keep the lens of hospitality in your mind. So in the beginning of this passage, Jesus and his disciples are walking by. A woman named Martha opened her home to him. I love that language. It's so simple and so effective. She opened her home. But really, really picture this. Jesus is walking by, and you open your front door. Would your first instinct be to invite him in? I'm not sure what I would do. And then the passage wastes no time in introducing her sister Mary, immediately giving us the image of sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he says. An image that I'm sure we all recognize. We are continually and constantly through the Gospels seeing this imagery of people sitting at the feet of Jesus, just listening to what he has to say. And for me, the image straight away has this really peaceful connotation of just being and sitting in the quiet and listening to Jesus. And then almost instantly, we have this juxtaposition of energy. We see Martha, the one who opened her home in the first place, distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I love that, had to be made. And naturally, she sees her sister Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, uninvited to the party, I'd like to add. Martha opened her home to Jesus, and Mary wasn't there in the beginning. And in Martha's eye, Mary is shirking the work, almost. She's just leaving Martha to run around, doing all of the things that had to be done. Surely, if you're going to turn up at a party uninvited, you might at least attempt to chip in with the washing up. That's just me. And so, in her frustration, Martha turns to Jesus, obviously hoping that he will join in and chide her sister and maybe get her to stand up and actually put some effort in. But instead, we have Jesus answering Martha in the only way that he knows how, and that is with the honest truth. And he says to Martha, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Mary has chosen what is better. Now, from this, you can take what you will. You may think of it as a instruction and a call to be like Mary and lay everything down at the feet of Jesus and just be calm and be still and be present. And you would be right. You would be completely right. Sometimes all of us just need to lay it all at the feet of Christ and pause and breathe and just be. But what I love about this passage is the example that Mary is setting for us. So there's a key word in the beginning. Martha opened her home, but was distracted. I love that image. Distracted by everything that had to be done. So when I first read this, for the first time, way, way back when I read it for the very first time, I really felt for Martha. I really felt for her. I very much put myself in the shoes of Martha. I like order, and I like to have everything a certain way, and I like to be really prepared. And I really understood, and I felt for Martha. So she's under a lot of pressure. She's opened her home to Jesus Christ. And you can only imagine what must have been going through her mind, all of the preparations that she thought she might have to do to make this the best reception for Jesus. So that's what she's doing. And I'm sure that a lot of us here could relate to that image of hospitality, the running around trying to get things done. And remember earlier, I asked you to picture what you thought of when you hear the word. For me, I am Martha. That's it. That's what I picture. That's what I think of. I can't help it. I would be exactly the same in the situation. But hospitality can take so many forms, so many forms. It can take the preparation and the rushed cleaning, and I'm sure they are all parts of the process, and almost this accidental culture that we have. So I remember when I was younger, and ever we had guests come round, my mum would run around the house brandishing a Hoover in rooms that would never be seen by whoever was coming for tea or for lunch, and she would run around like a headless chicken screaming, "The house is a mess!" Ah! And closing doors to rooms that were spick and span that no one was ever going to see. But that was very much her mentality. So maybe that's where I got it from. That's the Martha mentality. And I'm sure we've all been there. But I want to just go back to that phrase of opening the home and really get down to what that means. Opening the home is not just a gift, it's a privilege and it's a responsibility. So I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, home is where the heart is. And that's true. But is the message that we're sending in our hospitality really about heart? Is that really why we're opening our home? Is that really what we're putting first when we invite people into our space and into company and community with us? When you invite guests over, are you inviting them to see how clean and tidy your living room is? Or how fantastically wonderful your food looks organized on tiny little finger plates? Or are you inviting friends and family in to listen to what they have to say? To spend time with them? To show them their value by giving them our time? Jesus, of course, is more than your average house guest. But if we really look at Mary's choice through the lens of having a hospitable heart, we can learn a real lesson. She listens. She listens and she spends time. And if we read it, you see that Jesus never tells Martha off. He affirms her worries and acknowledges that she's upset and that she's worrying about the wrong things. But he then gently reminds her that worrying about these things, when only one thing is needed, can only get you so far. Mary has chosen what is better. She gives herself completely to the guest of her household and sits at his feet, a chance that Martha was distracted from, the opportunity to sit and listen to what I can only imagine was something intriguing and insightful and lovely to hear. And I wonder, what are we missing? What are we missing when we open our homes to people? What do we miss when we busy ourselves with presentation and trying to be the hostess with the mostess? We're missing the chance to build relationship. We are missing the chance to see friendships bloom and blossom. And we're missing the chance for opportunity, for a real, deep, life-altering conversation that we could be having because we're more concerned with how tidy our living rooms are. Just to close, my question for all of us would be this. What is the motivation behind the invitation? Are we preoccupying ourselves with duties, preparations, distractions? Or do we lead with a heart like Mary's, who chose what is better in the eyes of the Lord? Amen.